Radio Prague News.
The Czech authorities are negotiating with Indonesia regarding possible humanitarian aid in the wake of Friday's natural disaster. The Czech Republic is to open an embassy in Mali, and stricter rules for the provision of mortgages have come into force in the Czech Republic. The Czech Foreign Ministry is ascertaining how best to help Indonesia in the wake of a devastating earthquake and tsunami which hit the island of Sulawesi on Friday. EU member states are currently coordinating their aid to the region with the help of local authorities. The options are financial aid, humanitarian aid, or sending rescue teams. A meeting of diplomats from EU member states is taking place on Monday. According to the Czech Foreign Ministry, a Czech national who was hit by the tsunami is reported to be uninjured and has been flown to Makassar. All other Czech tourists in the region are reported to be safe. The Czech Republic will open an embassy in Mali as of January 1, 2019, the Czech Foreign Ministry announced on its webpage, citing a decision by the Czech government. The embassy in Bamako should play a key role in strengthening cooperation in the field of security, increasing the Czech presence in military and civilian missions aimed at stabilizing the Sahel region and contribute to the development of mutual economic cooperation. Stricter rules for the provision of mortgage loans have taken effect as of October 1st. Under the change introduced by the Czech National Bank, mortgage holders should not be allowed to spend more than 45% of their monthly income on repayments. Likewise, the overall loan should not exceed 9 times the holder's annual income. The new conditions will make mortgages inaccessible to 20% of households which met the previous conditions. A hospital in the town of Břeclav, southeast of Brno, has confirmed a second incidence of West Nile fever, a viral disease typically spread by mosquitoes. A 72-year-old woman died of West Nile fever in the hospital several weeks ago. The male patient with the same diagnosis is currently in isolation and is reported to be stabilized. It is not clear where he contracted the disease. A panel photo exhibition capturing milestone moments in the country's history opened on Příkopy Street in the centre of Prague on Monday, marking not just the centenary of the birth of Czechoslovakia, but the centenary of the CTK news agency itself. The photos were taken by the agency's photographers over the years and selected from an archive of over 7 million photographs. The exhibition has been travelling around the country since the spring in celebration of the anniversary and has come to Prague for the culmination of the centenary celebrations in October. An audiovisual exhibition documenting the years of totalitarian rule in Czechoslovakia has opened on Prague's Letná at the site of the one-time monument to the Soviet dictator Stalin. The exhibition, titled Memory of the Nation, offers eyewitness accounts of the Nazi and communist periods and video mappings that will take people back to selected crisis periods in the country's history, creating the impression that they're on a train heading for a concentration camp or in the cockpit of a Spitfire in the Battle of Britain. The exhibition grounds are surrounded by a 5-meter-tall wall symbolizing the communist oppression and the division of Europe. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday should bring overcast skies around most of the country with showers and day temperatures between 9 and 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, Czech Deputy Prime Minister Jan Hamáček emphasizes human rights in his address to the United Nations. And do more people in the country desperately need debt relief? Later on, the man who brought the krona to Prague. All that coming up, so stay with us. Czech Deputy Prime Minister Jan Hamáček referenced key moments in the country's modern history in an address to the UN General Assembly on Saturday. Speaking at the United Nations, he also discussed his visit to Chicago for major celebrations of the centenary of Czechoslovakia's foundation with Ian Willoughby.
Madam President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen,
on Saturday, the Czech Republic's Deputy Prime Minister, Interior Minister and Acting Foreign Minister Jan Hamáček addressed the 73rd session of the United Nations General Assembly. In his speech, he expressed support for reform of the UN, reiterated Prague's commitment to human rights, and referenced one of the most traumatic events in modern Czech history.
This year, the Czech Republic commemorates 50 years since the Warsaw Pact troops invaded Czechoslovakia. The experience of the 1968 invasion still resonates strongly, not only in the Czech Republic, as the moment where many lost faith in the promises of the better world preached by the Soviet Union. This seemingly historical event, however, carries lessons still relevant today and echoes in incidents which are still occurring in the world around us.
Mr. Hamáček additionally highlighted another key date for the Czech nation.
This year we also celebrate the centennial of our modern statehood and independence, as Czechoslovakia was born in the crucible of the First World War in 1918. The founder and first president of my country, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, rightly posited that states are sustained only by those ideals from which they were born. The same must be true about the United Nations.
Moments before his address, Jan Hamáček sat down with me for a short interview, largely focused on the Czech Centennial Gala, which had just taken place in Chicago. On Friday, you were in Chicago for celebrations of the centenary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia. Could you tell us what were the highlights of your visit to Chicago, which I guess is the city maybe outside the Czech Republic with the strongest Czech connections?
Absolutely. I fully understand the reason why, if we are to remember the 100 years of our independence in the U.S., why are we doing it in Chicago? President Masaryk had strong links to Chicago, to the Kern family. President Beneš, when he fled after the Munich Agreement, he found a place at the University of Chicago. The Czech community in Chicago is very strong, and without their help before independent Czechoslovakia, it wouldn't have been possible for President Masaryk to succeed. So if there's a place in the U.S. to remember this anniversary, that's for sure Chicago. And I was pleased to meet members of the Kotík and Kern families, and it was a great gathering.
Tell us about your meetings with those people who were the grandchildren, I guess, of people who were extremely important in the early days of Czechoslovakia.
We had great conversations, and they're all very interested in today's Czech Republic. They are great supporters, and again, without them then and today, it would be impossible for us to operate in the U.S. on the level that we are operating at the moment.
Did you get to see any signs of the legacy of the Czech connection to Chicago?
Absolutely. We laid a wreath at the monument of the Blanik's Knights and President Masaryk in the campus of the University of Chicago.
Ties between Czechs and Americans were very strong 100 years ago. Also in the early 1990s, after the Velvet Revolution, what's your sense of where Czech-American relations are today?
I would say nothing has changed substantially. We are members of NATO, both the U.S. and the Czech Republic believe in a strong transatlantic link, and we are doing our utmost to keep this link as strong as possible. So I think that we in the Czech Republic understand that without the U.S. it wouldn't have been for an independent Czechoslovakia, and the U.S. understands that in the Czech Republic it has a strong and reliable ally.
Have you heard any concerns from your U.S. hosts about a perceived realignment in the Czech outlook internationally, driven by Mr. Zeman, toward Russia, toward China?
Not at all.
The Czech Deputy Prime Minister Jan Hamáček there, speaking to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. Moving on now, statistics show that close to 1 in 10 adults face financial execution. Against this backdrop, MPs are set to debate amendments to the Insolvency Act, which aim to make it easier for people to qualify for debt relief and thus avoid declaring personal bankruptcy. But are so many Czechs really in debt up to their ears? Brian Kennedy reports.
A study by the non-profit Open Society Foundation found last year that no fewer than 836,000 people in the Czech Republic were under some form of distraint, meaning that some of their property had been seized as compensation to creditors for overdue payments. To address the situation, the government wants to introduce more lenient and flexible debt relief models. Currently, a person who pays off at least 30% of their debts within 5 years is eligible for debt relief. Their remaining outstanding debt is then forgiven. Parliament is debating introducing a fast-tracked model that would allow a person who repays half their liabilities in 3 years to qualify for debt relief. There's also a proposed no-limit model with a 7-year timeline with no minimum set on the amount to be repaid. But the reality of indebtedness is far rosier than the statistics would imply, so says Czech Chamber of Commerce Deputy Chair Irena Bartoneva-Palková.
The data are very misleading. Included in that massive figure of nearly 900,000 people under financial execution are many who declared personal bankruptcy but have already repaid their debts. The data also include people who have died. In repaying debts, actually, we rank second in the European Union, right after the Germans. So it is very misleading to speak of a tenth of Czechs in financial execution.
On the whole, the system in place since 2008 is working well, says the Chamber. Further reducing the amount debtors must repay to qualify for relief unfairly impacts creditors and the state, i.e. taxpayers.
Of some 150,000 borrowers who have entered into personal bankruptcy, more than half, about 56%, pay back the majority of their debt on schedule. Another 25% even pay 100% of what they owed. So it is clear that the bankruptcy system works.
While the average principal in distraint cases is about 65,000 crowns, according to the Open Society study, half of debtors owe less than 10,000, most of which related to costs and interest payments. The government should rather focus on helping people prevent from falling into debt traps in the first place, says Ms. Bartoneva-Balkova. In part, that means ensuring that loan terms and the consequences for breaking them are more fair and understandable to the average borrower.
Brian Kennedy with that report, and now this being Monday, we're offering you a summary of the sports news with Tom McEncrow.
Czech number one, Petra Kvitova, has moved from fifth place up to fourth in the ATP's women's rankings, this despite her early exit in the last 16 of the Wuhan Open in China, a tournament Kvitova won in 2014 and 16. Kvitova profited from the previous fourth spot occupant Caroline Garcia's early exit, who went out to the Czech Grand Slam champion's 22-year-old compatriot Kateřina Siniaková. The ATP women's top 10 currently contains two Czech players, with Karolina Plíšková 3 spots behind Kvitova at number 7. Kvitova, however, is at risk of falling to the bottom of the top 10 after her defeat in Beijing to Australian Daria Gavrilova in the first round. Both Plíšková and Siniaková have advanced to round 2. Now, kayaker Jiří Prskavec and canoeer Tereza Fischerová both landed medals at the 2018 ICF Canoe Slalom World Championships in Rio de Janeiro. Prskavec, who has been in stable form this season, missed the first place to German kayaker Hannes Aigner by less than a second. Speaking to Czech television after the contest, Prskavec was nevertheless very proud.
I'm really happy with my performance. In fact, I think it was my best this year, and I think it would be enough to provide victory in most competitions. Unfortunately, Hannes gave a dream performance today.
Fischerová, who won silver at the previous championships, managed to scrape third place in the canoe slalom behind favourites Jessica Fox and Mallory Franklin. Arsenal's comfortable 2-0 victory over Watford at the Emirates Stadium on Saturday was spoiled by the injury of goalkeeper Peter Cech. According to the BBC and Cech's own statement on his website, the 36-year-old appears to have tweaked a hamstring after taking a goal kick just before half-time and is likely to be out for 2 to 3 weeks. He was replaced by German-born Bernd Leno, who made his Premier League debut. Czech is likely to miss the Europa League game against FK Karabakh and the Premier League derby against Fulham before the international break. And finally, Slavia does manage to hold on to first place in the league despite its loss to Baník. Now, it moved to the top of the table last week after beating Bohemians 1-0, but it lost to Baník 2-1. This despite having a player sent off from the Baník team. The Baník winger, Martin Filho, scored 2 goals. Speaking to Slavia TV after the game, the team's midfielder Josef Hushbauer shared his feelings on the game.
It is good for us that we are playing again soon against St. Petersburg, so we can focus on the Europa League. I wouldn't say we need to raise our effort, necessarily. I don't think we let this game go. We just didn't get into the right rhythm.
Now, despite the loss, Slavia is still in the lead, but only on goal difference, as Viktoria Plzeň moved up to second place after beating Sparta Prague 1-0 on Friday.
A summary of sports news by Tom McEncrow coming your way on Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, inspired by the hit hybrid pastry, the Cronut, Lukáš Vašek's bakery has brought it to the Czech Republic as the Krobliha, and it is constantly sold out. Ian Willoughby has more.
The Cronut became a huge sensation when the croissant donut hybrid was launched by New York's Dominique Ansel Bakery 4 years ago. Now the popular pastry has arrived in Prague, where it's been dubbed the Krobliha, with the second half of the word coming from Kobliha, the Czech equivalent of the donut. Recently I caught up with the young man behind the Krobliha, Lukáš Vašek. His Oh Dear Bakery, which opened in April, is rather small and at present unable to keep up with demand. Indeed, most days customers' only hope of acquiring a Krobliha is to order or come very early.
Krobliha is hybrid. It's a classic croissant dough, but in shape like a donut. That's it. And it's fried too.
So it's more croissant than donut?
Yeah, it's more croissant, but in shape is same, but dough is totally different.
Have you ever been to the place in the US where they sell Cronuts in New York?
No, I just try in London, because Ansel opened, I think, in LA, New York, London and Tokyo. Before I opened, I was in London, just try this, because in New York was line whole day, and I said, oh, okay, come on, it's not for me.
And is Krobliha your translation of Cronut?
Not my. Food blogger Cuketka was there, I know, month after I opened, and he wrote in his blog this name, or used this name, Krobliha. But right now I think people don't know if it's Cronut or Krobliha, but I think it doesn't matter.
And your bakery is called Oh Dear. There's a big deer's head on the wall beside us, and your logo is a kind of man with a deer's head. Why deer?
It's simple. When I was, I think, 11, 12, I started to play basketball. And it was some guy, bigger than me, but his nickname was Hippo, Hippopotamus. And I said, oh, Hippo, Hippo. And I was a child, and he grabbed me and started yelling, you're deer, 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 and that's it. So almost 20 years, and I still the deer. So, oh dear, it was better than Czech translate, Jelenova Pekarna, right?
And tell us, what different kinds of Krobliha or Cronuts do you sell here?
Right now I have 5, but I want more. But I start with 2. Peanut butter jelly, it was my favorite one and still is. And raspberry with lemon curd. After that, I said, okay, I have just 2. I need one more, right? And I woke up one day and I said, okay, I try this one. And it's caramel cream with Nutella, caramel and lotus biscuit. So, and after that, I add some other, like a pistachio with raspberry marmalade and salty caramel with Nutella. That's it.
Is there any real difference between your Krobliha or Cronuts and the original Cronuts?
I think it's many difference. Mine, you know, a little bit higher. We have the different flours. So mine is more crispy, I think, but more wet inside and a little bit more fluffy than original from Ansel.
What are your biggest sellers?
Nutella and caramel cream.
We're here at noon. your shelves are empty. How does it work here? Is it always sold out? Also, I follow you guys on Facebook, and you seem to be permanently sold out.
Yeah, right now, it's day by day same. If I sold out, I think 10 or 1, doesn't matter, because I have until 5, right? But first 2 months, it was, you know, I just sitting there and waiting for customers. But right now, after magazines like Forbes and Appetit, it's better and better. And
what are your plans for the future? Because it seems like unsustainable, or maybe not even a good business model, to sell out every day so early.
Right now, I've tried to find a new kitchen because it's necessary right now, because my kitchen is too small. It's just, I think, 10 square meters and that's it. So I try to find just kitchen. It will be much more better for me, because production will be 2 times more than right now, maybe 3 times.
Frankly, a business like this to me looks like the typical example of gentrification. You know, it's a kind of place for hipsters, it's yeah. Cool, the design is very nice. How have local people here on the street reacted to you guys?
I think it's good. People said, okay, it's our bakery guy, so yeah. Yeah, right now I feel really, really comfortable in Bielehradska.
You look at any old ladies coming in here looking for Šumava bread or something?
Yeah, it was in the start because Praktika, the bakery, is 20 meters, you know, right? And yeah, he said, okay, where is the bread? And I said, okay, go away and 20 meters away, and it will be your place.
Do you know what a labradoodle is? It's a cross between a Labrador and a poodle.
Okay.
When people hear about this, they all like it, they think it's cute and so on. But I think it's just cute for a moment. If you really think about it, it's not so cute. I also wonder about the Krobliha. That, you know, I can imagine somebody coming here once and thinking, this is cute, this is cool. Maybe not coming again. Do you get repeat customers a lot?
I think right now, yeah, we have, I think, many. And we have too many customers, like you said, just one time, make a photos. The ladies from Instagram make a photos and that's it, right? I need just photos for Instagram and it's fine, and after that you never see her again.
Does that really happen?
Yeah, I think many times per week.
One thing I didn't ask you earlier is, why do you think the Krobliha or the Cronut is so popular, with the queues in New York and people coming here every day and being sold out so often?
It's I think it's same, you know, right now we have donut time, and it's almost same but a little bit different. I'm 100% sure that much more better than normal donut. So I'm on this situation in Czech, you know, everybody are crazy about donuts, so I'm in same line, same wave right now.
And what is it about the taste that people like so much? Because I quite like croissants. I hate donuts. Mm-hmm. I don't really see what's the attraction of the taste
right now. I don't know too. Because I don't like it right now, you know. If you fry
it
every day, yeah, I don't eat it. Just, you know, I just cut one per day because I want to try the taste, but it's empty without cream or other. But one lady told me, okay, it's fried, it's full of butter, the best thing is in. And like I said, I don't know what people like in Krobliha, but it's filling inside. And the topping and donut is okay. If I didn't count the Boston cream, donut is just icing, yeah, icing on the top, but without filling. So this and the butter, I think in Czech we love butter, right? And the Krobliha is full of butter. So
you talk about filling, you mean the filling inside,
yeah,
the Krobliha, but also they must be filling. How many can people eat? I guess 2 must be about the most you could eat.
Yeah, I think 1. It's enough. But 2 ladies, some CrossFit ladies, was there and start with 1. After that, okay, it's good, I try another one. After that, okay, I try another one. I said, okay, guys, it's, I think, enough. She said, no, I tried the last one. Okay, so she...
Were they usually large ladies?
No, it was ladies from CrossFit Center, so fitness center, right? It was like 30 kilos and that's it, but...
I guess they can afford, they can go and work out an extra hour.
I think it's about the cheat day, right? Because right now it's too popular and everybody use the hashtag in Instagram, cheat day. So I'm in same wave. Like I said, in Donator, it's almost same, you know, just cheat day. And
what is cheat day? Where you can have a day where you don't have to be disciplined?
Yeah, you have day, like cheat day, you know, you want eat everything what you want, so...
So it's one day where you allow yourself not to be disciplined.
Yeah, and you eat just junk food, right? The Krobleha is junk food.
That was Lukáš Vašek, the man who brought the Krobleha to Prague, and he was Ian Willoughby's guest on One on One. And I'm afraid that's all from us for now. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And of course, you can always follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Zarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.